place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are so excited today because we have a Hollywood actress turned wellness guru in the studio. Welcome to the show, Kirsten Schultz.
Thank you for having me. And hello to all your listeners.
Yeah, well, we're so excited you're here. I'm going to tell my listeners about your amazing background. So Kirsten is a powerhouse in both entertainment and wellness. She's from Germany, and her journey began with a silver medal in the Junior Olympics. So I can't wait to hear about that. After getting a business degree, she pursued theater and eventually moved to LA, where she acted in hit shows like Righteous Gemstones, American Horror Story, Flaked, and Rescue Dogs. She's also a trailblazer in wellness with over 24 years. She founded Party and Diet, an elite personal training. I love that, Party and Diet. Her longevity journey focuses her approach resonates deeply with women navigating the changes of midlife, and her strategies empower women to embrace midlife with mindfulness, wellness, and self-compassion. So I want to hear the story. Where are you from in Germany? What sport did you get a silver medal in? And how did you end up in LA with your son? I sort of heard a little bit of it before we started to hit record, but I want to hear the real story.
So it's in a nutshell. Let's see. Born and raised in Berlin West. The wall was still up. Sports was really big back then, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I found the love of track and field when around 10 years old, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I went and got submitted for the Junior Olympics in Berlin. I was 12.
For what event?
Heptathlon. So I did 7 different disciplines. Wow. My specialty was 200 and 400 meters sprints. But I did high jump, far jump, shot pull, relay. And sports was always a feel-good for me, and so was being creative. And I won the silver medal in Berlin. And then
what event?
In heptathlon.
Oh, that's congratulations. Yeah. That's
Thank
amazing.
You. And then with 15, well, with 12, we moved right after that, like 13, almost 13, we moved to Munich. And then in Munich, I went and added theater to my repertoire.
You mean Boris Becker in Munich?
Yes.
Oh.
I never met him in person. Oh. No. He was
but
in Texas.
You were in Munich when he was in Munich?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool. All right. All right. Keep going.
And I did theater in Munich. I wrote my own sketches, did improv, was on TV, did a little touring. I have an identical twin, so we did a lot of sketch writing together. And I was always into sports. I was always into theater and creativity. And then I wanted to become an actress always, but my mother, who's very old school German, said, that is not a real job, and if you can't rely on it, you need to get a degree in something else. So I listened and got a business degree in Germany, and then was in the corporate world for 10 years. I worked for CompuServe when CompuServe was the first internet provider. Mm-hmm. And when I left CompuServe, I was assistant marketing director for CompuServe. But on the weekends, I also had a dance troupe, so I would dance. And I always was in the creative fields, expressing myself in my body or with my language. And then I had a son in Germany. I got married, and his dad was in the military, and we didn't work out really well. Our views were very different. We were young. We were in our 20s. We were going through a separation, and, you know, I always believe that the father and the mother both have the same rights when it comes to their child. Mm-hmm. He got out of, got stationed in the States and said, I just want to take our son for a vacation. I'll bring him back. Well, that never happened. He didn't bring him back. So I had to fight for my papers. And
to go your kid.
And to go after my child. That's really why I came to the United States.
Where did you find the kid and the dad?
My child was not with his dad. He was actually with his mother. And his mother, so his grandmother.
Okay.
And she was not a nice person to my son. She actually beat him with a belt. When I found out, I had a restraining order. I put in a divorce decree later on that she's not allowed to be alone with him. Went after my son, played. He wanted me back. He wanted to, you know, not be separated. He wanted to make it work. And I stayed for a year and thought, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to make this work for my son. It was awful. It was the same problems. He was a cheater. He was a liar. I thought he was a chronic liar, honestly. Everything was a lie. The last thing was I found a letter. I never told the story. You're the first one. I found a letter from the daycare lady that took care of my son, and him and her, my ex, had a love affair. And
wrote you a letter to tell you about their affair?
Pardon?
She didn't write you a letter. She wrote him a love letter. And
I went to clean our truck. And when I was cleaning the truck, that letter was in the glove compartment. And I was like, okay, this is it. I mean, we already were on the rocks. We already had problems, you know, and I just didn't trust him anymore. And then when I found that, I was like, okay, that's it, you know, and took my car, a truck, a Silverado.
Where was your son living?
In Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, Killeen, Texas. He was stationed in Killeen, Texas. And I was started working in the fitness industry in Killeen, Texas. I met a gentleman that had a nutrition store and also was opening a gym. And he said, do you want to work with me and open up this gym? And I said, yeah, why not? Let's do it. And I was good in marketing, so there was nothing in the gym yet, and I could visualize it for people enough that they were signing up for memberships. And then I built the training department, the physical, the aerobics department, and was the director for all the exercise classes. And then when all that happened with my ex, that's when I took my son and decided to go to California. And I got to California with my truck, $3,200 in my pocket, and my son, and had no job, nothing, and sat at the beach in Redondo Beach and looked at the newspaper, and I needed to find a place to stay for 2 days, within 2 days. And I believe in energy, and I believe that what we put out will come to us. And everybody thought that I was crazy. There's no way I'm going to find a place to live without even having a job. You know, I mean, who gives you an apartment,
right?
Got to this place in Lomita, right by Torrance, and it was an Italian gentleman. No, she was Italian and he was German. And I told them, I will give you my word. I will always pay you on time. And they gave me a chance. And I got a place to stay. I took my last money. I went to Kmart, bought a table with 3 chairs. Because it was discounted because the one chair was missing. I'm like, great. And I had an air mattress for my son to sleep on. And that's how I started.
And then how did you get an agent and start working in Hollywood?
So then I decided, okay, well, how am I going to be seen here? Mm-hmm. And I started competing in competitions. I worked as a waitress in a club to get on my feet. And then I started competing. I said, okay, if I'm going to be seen on stage, then I can be in magazines. When I'm in magazines, then I can train people because people believe that I can do the transformations. And that's what happened.
You competed as a fitness bodybuilder?
Figure competitions, yeah. Fitness, figure just came out. Mm-hmm. So it was fitness, and then it became figure, and then they did physique. And the figure is where you don't have to do all the flips and the jumps and all that. I wasn't a gymnast, so that was not something that wasn't in my gift box, so to say. And then I did figure competition, won my overall, won it twice. And then I was in all the magazines. I know it sounds kind of fast, but that's how really it happened.
Which magazines? Like
I was in Oxygen, American Curves, Muscle Mech, Planet.
Because you were a fitness model.
I was a fitness model. Mm-hmm.
And then how did that lead to speaking parts?
So fitness modeling, my physique got me into the agency Bobby Ball, who was a sports agency, and they did a lot of commercials. And that's how I got my first commercials. I had a Las Vegas commercial. I was on the billboard. And then commercials was really my segue into acting, you know. And the commercials that I booked were all very on a comedic sense more. And so my improv and my comedic timing from Germany for my training really came into play. And, you know, 10 years fast forward, well, actually that was, my son was two. So then I took a little break from acting because I had another child, my second child.
And but who was that father?
He was a Chippendale.
He was wow. Hashtag hot couple alert.
We're not together anymore, but he was, he's a good looking man. Yeah. And okay. Then I built my fitness training business then. And
wait, back up. How did you meet the Chippendale dancer?
I met him in a gym. And he came up to me and talked to me. I didn't even know what Chippendales did in America. I only knew what they did in Germany. And they don't go into a crowd. They only stay on stage. And they do the whole performance. And it's like a real show.
Oh, yeah.
And then after almost a year of dating, I finally decided to go to one of his shows in America. And I did not like it. I was like, I don't share. I don't like other women touching my man.
Yeah.
And I had a big problem with it. And I was really, when the first time I saw it, I was in shock. I was like, this is not what I'm signing up for. And at that time, I was already pregnant. And I was like, oh boy. So we ended up not making it because he just couldn't stop it. He was addicted, I think, to the attention.
Oh, wow. Did you give him an ultimatum? Like, it's either Chippendales or our relationship, and he couldn't leave Chippendales?
Yeah. And he said he's going to leave and he wanted to stop. He just couldn't. It was...
He's a domination addict. I mean, that's like a real thing. There's a 12-step group called LAVA, Love and Validation Addicts Anonymous.
People yeah.
Addicted to validation through that kind of stuff. So, wow. So now you have two kids, and how old are they now?
My daughter is 20 now, and my son is 26, going to be 27 this year. And because my daughter was born, I decided, okay, I just couldn't leave. You know, when you get acting jobs, you really want to do it full throttle. It's a very selfish job. You know, you have to train all the time. You have to go on auditions, and then you have to be available to fly somewhere and film. And mm-hmm. I just couldn't do all that. So I actually put my acting on pause for 10 years and built my training business. And I was very successful because I think in any business, when you know how to listen to a person, really listen and know what they really need, that's how you can help, because it's all about service. And when you have you already know your talent, I know already how to use the body and I know how to help people. And I always said, okay, tell me who you are and tell me what your challenges are, what your goals are, what is your lifestyle, what is your stress level, how does your day look like? So I put myself, just like an acting role, into that body and say, okay, what would I do?
Great.
That's how I built my training business. And it was, I have a 99% success rate. You know, there's always that 1%.
Incredible. A 99% success rate. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to find out what you did with your clients to get a 99% success rate. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am interviewing actress, wellness guru, Kirsten Schultz. What did you do with your clients to help them get a 99% success rate? What made your training and nutrition program so successful?
So I had to find out, first of all, what is their DNA? What is your background? Because everybody is different. So if you had, is your body an ectomorph, an endomorph, you know, where do you carry your fat? Also, what is your culture? Like for me, meat and potatoes, because I'm German, it is in my DNA. I do really well on it. Some people need to be on fish and asparagus and salads on the South Beach diet. But we all have the same denominators. We all need to be in an insulin-sensitive state to lose body fat. How do I get you to that? By de-stressing your body. Because a lot of times we live in way too much stress, mentally and physically, that we cannot lose the weight and transform our body the way we want it. Some people have come to me and said, well, I only eat once a day and I do 3 hours of cardio workouts. I said, your body is going into stress mode. Cortisol levels are out of the yin yang. And I always explain the body to people as it's like an engine that runs 160 miles per hour all the time will break down after a while. It will overheat. It cannot sustain that. So you have to find, because the body only knows to survive. It doesn't know what we're doing. It doesn't know what workload we have. It just knows it has to survive and has to repair itself and has to, you know, protect itself. You know, the brain protects us constantly. So once I figured out, okay, what is your lifestyle and how can I help you to find your balance? And that doesn't mean you cannot have the pizza every now and then. That doesn't mean you cannot have your glass of wine. I just need to figure out where are you and where is your stress level. Once I can find your balance that is for you, then the body will adapt. Then the body will change. And then it's patience. You know, I have gotten people ready in front of the camera that there's a pressure, time pressure. Yeah, I have gotten, when Chris Hemsworth came to me, we got Thor just
before. Oh, here we go. This is the juicy stuff. That was going to be my next question. You're a celebrity trainer. Like, who have you trained?
Yeah.
So Chris Hemsworth came to you. Who else?
Nicole Ari Parker. She got ready for Cleopatra on Broadway. And I got Robert Patrick ready for Gangster Squad. He's the one who was Terminator 2, the silver guy.
Yep.
And they're on the different pressure cooker, you know, as far as I have gotten people ready for Black Panther, just dialing them in, leaning them out. A lot of times people come to me for nutrition. The guys usually come to me for the nutritional advice. Mm-hmm. I've trained guys, but really I love training women one-on-one. And I'm an expert in leaning people out. In
so what do we do? I mean, it sounds like you don't have a one-size-fits-all approach, but
no.
What is your general philosophy about nutrition? Are you like keto, paleo? I'm hearing low sugar. Are you high protein? Like, tell us your general philosophy about nutrition.
I believe in the rotation diet.
Okay.
Rotation diet is the oldest diet that there is in bodybuilding world.
Is that carb cycling.
It's called, they call it a metabolic confusion diet now. They call it keto diet. They call it South Beach. It's a combination of it all. So what it means is you have to rotate your proteins. You can't just do eggs all day long. You can't just do chicken. You should have a balance between eggs, chicken, plant-based, fish. I think we need it all. And we need to get at least 1 gram of protein per pound if you want to dial down. Now, if you want to beef up, you need to have 1.5 grams of protein.
How do we do that? Like, I'm 150 pounds. I only eat fish and eggs. I don't eat meat or chicken. How the heck am I going to get to 150 grams of protein in a day?
Cottage cheese. Do you like cottage cheese?
I did. I was doing no dairy. I had to add back in cottage cheese and Greek yogurt, or I could never have gotten there without the dairy. But
shakes.
Dairy can be inflammatory. Shakes are good.
So I do a shake a day at least, and I pack in about 40 to 50 grams of protein.
Ooh.
In my shake.
Okay, we want your recipe. Tell us,
so
what are you putting in that?
I use 3 scoops of protein powder. I use Arbonne protein because it's the easiest for me to digest. I was a sponsored athlete and I had whey protein and others. I never liked their protein shakes. I was always a bar girl, and bars have a lot of hidden sugars and fats and processed things in it, where the shakes that I found with Arbonne were just better for me. And so with that, I get about 36 grams of protein in it. Then I put some ham.
Now, is it suggested serving size 3 scoops, or are you adding an extra scoop?
So I put an extra scoop in it. It's
okay. If you're listening, you just got a really hot tip. Add protein even more than what the suggested serving size. Okay, 3 scoops.
Yeah, I try to get as much protein into my shake as possible, and I put chia seeds in it because chia seeds have protein as well. Mm-hmm. And then I pack it with good fat. We always need good fats with our proteins for the body to process it better. Mm-hmm. And we get energy from proteins, from fats, and from carbs, right? So when we go into a low-carb day, we want to up our fat. So avocado is one of the best fats you can have. And I'm a big fan of fish, like salmon. It's really high in monounsaturated fats and omegas. And if you have one, I always say when you take your hands, your inside of your hand should be a steak. This is your chicken, and that's your fish size. And that's about each 30 grams.
What about nuts? How many nuts should you have? A handful?
Like a 1/3 cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go back to your protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of milk are you putting in it?
I do oat milk, mm-hmm. or I do water. I don't like almond milk, and I had it for a while, but I did some research on it, and I don't like the way they process the almond milk, mm-hmm. because they put in the skin of the almond, and the skin of the almond is actually very bad for our digestion, and it gets us bloated and can actually give us gut problems.
So when you were training to be a fitness competitor, did you do this method, or is this more what you tell your clients?
This is what I do now. As far as the shakes to get it in, back then I ate 5 to 6 meals a day. I didn't do shakes.
And what
did you? I did my shakes. So I would eat eggs, I would eat chicken, I would eat fish, steak, burgers. I did a competition with $6 burgers by Carl's Jr. I did. I didn't eat the fries, and I ate the.
Carl's Jr. $6 burgers to train for a competition?
I did.
Oh my God. So you were basically doing the 150 grams of protein back then.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm 175 pounds, so I need to have 175 pounds.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Oh, well, that's why.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm learning a lot here. So any other hacks for getting more protein in, since you have to get to 175 milligrams? That's a lot.
I'm getting in with my cottage cheese. If you use one jar of the cottage cheese, that's 58 grams of protein.
That's true. What do you mean one jar? Like
one container of regular container size of the cottage cheese. I get it at Lazy Acres is 58 grams of protein, and I put some pomegranate seeds in it.
And how many times a day are you eating?
I eat every 2.5 to 3 hours.
So do you believe in intermittent fasting?
Yes. If I want to dial in, like when I did the commercial, when I need to dial in and need to, like I did the booking.com with Tina Fey, and I was buff Tina Fey and I wanted to be really ripped.
You had to play a buff version of Tina Fey. That is so fun. I love that, because your roots were in comedic acting, and she's like one of the best comedic actresses of all time. So is she cool to work with?
She was filming her part in New York, so I didn't get to meet her. I was in Mexico. They filmed the entire commercial down in Mexico.
Okay, yeah. But at least you got to play the buff version.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk. I wanted to ask you your morning routine, because you're like insanely disciplined. So I want to know like what you do from the second your eyes open until you complete your workout.
Great question. So I wake up an hour before I have to be anywhere.
Okay.
And I start with gratitude. I say, thank you for waking up. Thank you for the home that I have. Thank you for all the opportunities that are coming my way today. I always start with gratitude first before I even get out of bed.
Okay.
I thank my body that I can move and that I'm healthy. I believe that we live in ourselves. Our energy lives in ourselves. And I think it just sets my mind into the right state. Then I go into the kitchen and I make myself some, I boil some water. I have a teacup with some detox tea with vanilla in it. And I squeeze half a lemon.
Detox tea, not caffeine?
No caffeine, no.
Okay.
Because caffeine doesn't give us energy. Caffeine just shuts down the sensor of us being fatigued.
Okay.
So I want to help my body not to be toxic, because if I would drink coffee first thing in the morning, I'm now putting my body into a toxic state. So I have a detox tea, like dandelion root tea with half a lemon in it. Mm-hmm. And I wait an hour before I have my coffee. I love my coffee, but it's more the routine and everything. And then I go and read. Usually I do read either acting books, self-help books. I always try to read something first.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading, I knew you're going to ask me that.
Just give me one of your favorite books then that you've enjoyed reading in the morning.
Right now I'm reading How to Break Down Scripts, really. And how to read in between how should I put it? Sorry.
You can mute it. So what I really love about this interview is she is still acting and she is still doing the fitness guru thing. So she's really combining both sides of her brain, and it's really fascinating. So, yes. So, are you still pursuing acting? You're reading an acting book every morning. Does that mean you still audition and you're still pursuing this?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm working on actually going to Germany too, and to roles. I just finished another show on HBO. I did The Righteous Gemstone, played a nanny there, and then I did another one I just filmed last month. That's coming out next year. So I'm always into, I'm training with the Groundlings in LA.
I love it. I did the Groundlings, the first level. What level are you on?
I'm into middle level now, the intermediate level.
Good. Yeah. Good. I did the first level and they held me back and I got mad and I said, I just think they're holding me back because they know I can afford it to pay it again and I'm not going back. But see, that is good that you are sticking to it and that you're at the mid-level. And I love that you're a comedic actress. So amazing. But let's go back to the morning routine. Okay, so you have your coffee. What do you put in your coffee?
I rotate it. I love vanilla cream in my coffee. And usually it's sugar-free. Or I put just full cream in it because I believe in good fat in my diet. And I have two cups of coffee after I had my tea, and I do peptides in the morning. So I do either a copper peptide that I've done the routine with, or I do an NAD peptide. And I also do BP-157, which is helps the joints to stay young and fresh and heal itself.
What is the peptide? Is it, explain that to our audience who might not know. Is it a powder? Is it an injection? Like, what is it?
It's an injection. It's an it's like insulin needle, and it's an injection that, like the NAD, when you go into an IV solutions, they can give you an NAD shot. I do my own.
Okay.
And it's much more affordable if you do it yourself.
Yes. And I take liposomal NAD, which I'm sure is not nearly as potent as injecting it because it has to go through your digestive system.
Yeah. And there's mixed reviews on if it really goes all the way in there, but I do both. So when I don't do the injections, because we only need it for so long, right? Until it's in your body and you filled it up, then you can take a break for a little while. I think it's a waste of time, a waste of money when we do certain supplements for a whole year when you don't really need it, you know? So I always cycle. I like to cycle my supplements. I like to cycle my peptides. And then I do a workout if I have time. If I don't, usually my day starts at, I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. And then my first client usually is at 6:30 in the morning. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I usually see about 13 to 14 people. And
whoa, you are like, you're hustle and grind. That's amazing.
And I train people online and in person. People come to my gym or I go, I meet them.
Called Pimp Out Your Gym.
Elite Personal Training Gym.
And where
but it's at my house. It's private in Redondo Beach. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you have to like pass the test and be invited. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about your specific nutrition and fitness advice for midlife women. And everybody, you're listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast hosted by Rebecca Whitman. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. We are talking to actress, fitness guru, celebrity trainer to the stars, Kirsten Schultz. And she is going to tell us her advice. Well, let's go a little bit back because we were talking about your workouts. So before we get into your advice for midlife women, I'm still interested in your routine because you look amazing. So you do your workout early in the morning before you start training your 12 or 13 clients. So what are you doing? Are you doing just weights, cardio, combination? Tell us about your personal fitness regimen.
So if I have time in the morning, otherwise, usually my workouts are around noon. After my first group of people in the morning. And what that looks like is I always do a circuit with weights. So I pick a smaller muscle part, like the shoulders. I always do glutes and I do abs and then either hamstrings or quad. Because hamstring, quads, or the back are big muscle groups. So I separate them. And small muscle groups are shoulders, biceps, and triceps. And so I always mix them up. And I do circuits. So let's say I'm going to do my quads, my glutes, and my shoulders. I will do a squat, front squat, or a leg press, a vertical leg press, which is really good for your lower back and to protect it. And then I will do a shoulder press while my legs are recovering after 20 reps of doing squats. Then I do a shoulder press for 10 to 15. I always start, and I always do four sets. I don't just do three sets because the magic to me is always in the fourth set. Because the first set is really you're trying to figure out where is your body today? How strong are you? And by the time you get to the third set, you should crank out the fourth just to see the change. And I do abs in between, like hanging abs or the wheel. And then I do a glute exercise, be it butt kicks, step ups, abductors, all kinds of different glute exercises. And I do four rounds. So I have always four different exercises, 3 to 4 different exercises. And I do four rounds and I'm usually done within 30 minutes.
And do you do cardio? Do you do walking or stretching or anything like that?
I stretch on Saturdays. Saturdays are my big, deep stretch day. When I do my TRX workout, which I do once a week, there's a lot of stretching involved in that. Mm-hmm. But I don't stretch after every exercise that I do. My core workouts a lot of times have stretch elements in them. So like I do a rotation kick, which then opens up my back and my glutes, but I'm also training my abs. So I'm big on combining exercises and stretching in the same realm. So like if I do side lunges, I'm opening up my hips, but I'm also putting weight on it. So I like efficiency. And I always say, if I don't have 30 minutes, at least I will do 10 minutes. Because Perfect. 10 minutes a day, 7 minutes a week, and that's a lot. You can do a lot of change in your body just by staying consistent.
Absolutely. So let's talk about midlife women, because some experts say, don't work out to failure. That's going to create more cortisol in your body. How should midlife women be working out differently to get the most out of their workouts?
I completely agree. I do believe that midlife, I'm in full menopause myself. And when the premenopause hit and my body was changing, I was like, wow, I can't do cardio anymore. Because when I was competing, I did a lot of cardio. Because I had more testosterone, I had more balance with estrogen and progesterone, and my body could handle it more. But always know that when we do cardio, you burn also muscle. So it all depends on where you are body fat wise. So now I only lift weights and make it a circuit. And if I do any cardio, it is a walk. Like I do a 2-minute walk and a 30-second sprint. Like a jog where I can still hold a conversation, but I want to get my heart rate up. But I don't do any consecutive running because it raises the cortisol levels too much. Mm-hmm. And it builds fat layers around my stomach or my legs, wherever my body wants to hold its fat. And then I work out 30 minutes, no more than an hour a day. And I believe that if I can get it in with nutrition, then I'd rather do it with that. And I have learned to be more sensitive to my sugars, because when we're in menopause, we get getting into an insulin sensitive, we are insulin resistant. And so I've started doing prolonged fasting, and that's where you mentioned intermittent fasting. I've done intermittent fasting, and I have noticed that for me, I have to have protein in the morning. First thing. And I call it the 30-30-30. 30 minutes of awakening, 30 minutes of workout, 30 grams of protein. And it's crucial to...
So what was the first 30?
30 minutes of awakening.
Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So within 30 minutes of waking up, you need 30 grams of protein and 30 grams of what?
30 minutes of awakening, 30 minutes of workout,
oh,
30 grams of work, protein.
30-30-30. Got it.
So you have that 1 hour window in the morning and that you can work out without feeding your body. And it should be protein. It should not be sugar. That's why if you have your coffee or tea, there should be no sugar in it.
But is it okay to have protein in your coffee?
Absolutely.
Protein powder is okay if it's sweetened by stevia?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. So when we are in menopause, I think protein first thing in the morning is actually very important, because when we don't, and after an hour, the body's cortisol levels go up because, and the insulin level goes down because the body's not feeding the muscles. So it will go in slow flame and says, well, I'm not being fat, so I need to go and lower my fat burning flame. And that's why we pack on more pounds, because we think now, intermittent fasting helps us, but really intermittent fasting helps the ones that have a problem with digestion and with inflammations. Intermittent fasting is really good for that. But I don't think intermittent fasting is that great when you're in menopause. I think that high proteins and starting the day off earlier with protein is much more important when you're menopause, and then stop eating late because that's where we gain most of the weight.
Yes, I totally agree. Protein in the morning and stop eating early, and then you eat every 2.5-3 hours. So you never let yourself get starving.
Yes, because they scientifically have shown that after 2.5 hours, the insulin level would drop. And for me, for that not to happen, I have to have proteins and fats.
Very interesting. Now, I've heard that if you wait 4 hours, that's like a little mini fast and it's better for your blood sugar. And if you keep eating every 2.5 hours, you're going to keep your blood sugar up.
So why we do intermittent fasting is because we want autophagy to happen, right? A cell repair, a cell renewal. And the best cell renewal actually doesn't happen within 4 hours. It actually happens after 50 hours.
Mm.
So if you want to do it's called a prolonged fasting. If you want to do that, I think it's very great, especially people that had had surgery, that had to take a lot of medication. They want to clean out their body and get rid of all the toxins. Mm-hmm. A prolonged fasting is really good. So after 48 hours, the body goes into an insulin sensitive state. It raises HGH levels and it starts going into autophagy. And that is the cell renewal. And then you, after 72 hours, you start eating your first meals. But on the second day, I do a lot of bone broth and lots of protein, liquid protein, just to make sure that my muscles are fat so I don't lose my muscle size, right? And just burn the fat and let the body get rid of the broken cells in my body and starts renewing it. The same thing happens when we lift weights. That's why lifting weights in menopause is crucial.
So good. Yeah. And it's also important for our bones because
yes,
when you lift weights, you're increasing your bone density, and getting your bones broken is how a lot of people end up dying as they get older.
So you increase your ankle strength, your joint strength, your bone density, your mental. You actually create new brain cells when we work out.
Amazing.
There's 40% of space in our brain that we do not use, but when we start lifting weights, we actually start using them.
What do you think of cold plunges for women in menopause?
I think you have to be really careful because it can raise your cortisol levels.
Yes.
Women should not go in, I don't think, for some people go in for 4 or 5 minutes. So I did a test myself. And I said, I got this gift certificate and a whole week of plunging, and I tried it. After 3 days, I couldn't get warm anymore.
Whoa.
And so that means that now I'm changing the body temperature in my body. And if it goes, drops low, guess what happens? Your body shuts down and it's not burning what we want anymore. And it's actually doing the opposite. It raises its cortisol levels, the stress levels. And now I'm pulling water. I'm not doing what helps my body. I'm actually hurting my body. So men are very different than women. So men can do this all the time. Women should not go cold plunge all the time. I'm not saying you can't like go into a, I actually like the cryos better than a cold plunge.
I do too. I like cryotherapy better than a cold plunge.
It's not as shocking to the body. You can walk in, you can walk out after 1 minute. But when you go into a cold plunge, it is just, it's too stressful for the body. And I think, I have it set on no turn. Okay. I think it's not good for women to do cold plunges all the time.
I have no interest. I don't like torturing myself. So that's why you won't see me running marathons or doing cold plunges or anything like that. I like to feel good. So this show is about helping women overcome burnout and overwhelm. Obviously, if you're coaching, you know, training 12 to 13 people a day, you're going back to back all day. What are some of your hacks or tips for preventing burnout? And if you do feel burned out, how do you pull yourself back from it?
I meditate every day. So it's called my meditation nap, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on white sound music, ocean waves, and I lay down for 20 minutes. Sometimes I have the privilege of an hour, but at least I do 20 minutes and I decompress my brain, basically reset it. Or if I have time, I go to the beach or a grass field and I take my shoes off and I start grounding.
And good.
I think grounding is super powerful.
How can we do it? How many minutes do we need to have our bare feet touch the ground?
20 minutes. You can ground 20 minutes.
That's a long time. I thought it was more like 2 minutes.
No, I don't. Well, you know, what needs to happen when you ground is you take your shoes off, you connect with the earth, and then you have to really center yourself. You can't center and quiet down the mind in 2 minutes.
So you're meditating while your feet touch the ground. It's not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're all energy. We're atom and molecules. We are connected with everything. And it's very powerful to, I know this sounds woo-woo to some people.
No, this is woo-woo. Handle.
One of the books that I've read is all about affirmations and all about that the universe will always answer you what you want. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you have to put yourself into the preparation of receiving, right? That means I want to be an actress and I want to have this role, but I'm not studying it. I'm not going to get it. But mm-hmm. if I'm putting myself there, I actually attracted all the things that I have gotten this year. I've attracted. I set out, I'm going to do it, and it came to me. But I'm grounding myself constantly, and I'm staying in my positive state of mind and not in my fear state of mind. Because the fear state of mind is in our beta state, right? In our 200 frequency is where the brain constantly says, oh, don't do that. You're going to get hurt here. Or don't do that. They're going to judge you. Or don't do that. But when you put yourself into a theta state of mind, which is 400 frequency and up, which happens when we're grounding ourselves, which happens when we meditate, that's when we go into a higher frequency and into a positive state of mind. That's when we attract amazing things for ourselves. And it really, really works. And the more we do it, the more it's going to happen. And And that is really how I stay grounded. And because there's days that I'm really, really like overwhelmed with all the things that I have to do. And I always say, have discipline and motivation is your support system.
I like to say, I'd rather pay the price of discipline than the pain of regret.
I love that. Yes.
Yes. You and I are so aligned. So when you have your break, when you do your meditation, do you do it at the same time every day or is it different every day just depending on when your clients are coming in?
I usually do it around 2:00.
Okay. So that breaks up your day.
That breaks up my day. Cause I start at 6:30. I usually go to about 1:00. Mm-hmm. And then I use my 2:00 and then at 1:00, if I didn't have already worked out, I do a workout 30 minutes and then I'll lay down and do my meditation. And then I have to come back, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, not Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's when I usually do my creative things.
And if you are on a set and you have a crazy early call time, like 4 or 5 in the morning, are you still finding the time to work out?
So I don't work out on the days that I'm on set. I usually work out on the days when I'm not on set. So for instance, when I did the Righteous Gemstones, and we were filming in Charleston, I was there for 2 months. And so on the days that I was off, cause I don't have film days every day, but let's say I film for 4 days that week. Then the other 3 days I schedule myself. So I work out and, I'm really good on being very disciplined on what I eat when I can't work out.
So and that's hard on the set when there's craft services around all the time.
I don't think it's hard.
What is your secret? And this is for people who are not on the set with craft services is basically like having like unhealthy food around all the time. So maybe you're not on a set like Kirsten, but you're at a summer barbecue or you're at a birthday party, or you're at a Christmas party. So what are your tips when you see all this unhealthy food around? How do you stay away from it?
I go for the good fats. Either there's nuts, fruits, low glycemic fruits. If it's berries, oranges, apples, they're all low glycemic. I stick with proteins. So let's say you're at a barbecue, eat the chicken, eat the burger, you know, you don't have, and you can eat the bun too. The bread is actually not that high in carbs, you know, it's just the French fries and the potato salad and those things that are really high. And when I'm on set, you know, the craft service usually has like candy bars and pretzels and all that. I don't eat that. So I stick to, they usually have protein bars too. And even though the protein bar is not the best, it's still better than the other stuff. So I stick to that or jerky or something that gives me my proteins.
So you're basically so full by eating healthy protein, fiber, and fat that also makes it less tempting. You're not letting yourself get so hungry that you just want to reach for the potato chips. So I think that's part of it. Now, another question I have, and this is my last question. What about the women who are so busy at work that they're like, I don't have time to work out. I just don't know how I'm going to fit this into my life. What would you tell the women who say they just don't have the time to work out?
Yes, you do. So, in my programs, Fitness for the Busy Lifestyle, I showcase, for instance, you can be at work, set your timer for every hour. You're going to be behind your desk. You're going to get up out of your chair 20 times. Get up, sit back down. Get up, sit back down. And then you're going to do 10 push-ups against your table. And you're going to bring your knees to your chest sitting on your chair for 20. Done. You're going to set your timer for every hour. You're at work usually about 7 hours. That's 7 times.
So 10 minutes, 7 times is a 70-minute workout.
So if you do every hour, that should take you, you're not going to get sweaty. That should take you about maybe 2 minutes to do.
Oh, just 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Set your timer at the top of the hour. You're going to do 2 minutes. And that at the end of the day, it's like 15 minutes. But that can make a difference over time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Think about that. If you are every hour, so that's it's 12. It's like, okay, I get to work 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, I set my time. I have to now quickly do 20. Getting out of my chair, sitting back down, and I do 10 little push-ups against my table, and I'm going to do 10 knee raises or 20 knee raises to my chest sitting in the chair, right? You just bring your knees to your chest. Done. Go off and do my work. Then 10 o'clock hits. I'm going to do the same again. 11 o'clock hits. I'm going to do the same again. 12 o'clock hits. I'm going to do the same again. At the end of the day, you had time to work out.
No excuses. You're beautiful and abundant show. So Kirsten, you have just been a delight. I can't wait to hear how your acting career goes, how your celebrity training goes. I would love to have coffee with you. I can definitely see us being friends. Where can people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on partyanddiet.com. And or you
it's
can
not party and diet or party ampersand diet. So
The word spelled out. Yeah. Party and diet. Yeah.
.com.
Right. And you find all my programs there and you can reach me there or you can find me on my Instagram, Party and Diet. And I do answer my Instagram. I do run it myself because I still want to be connected to people. And that's it. Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, where we teach you that you can find success through aligning your life in 7 pillars of abundance: spirituality, fitness, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. And you can find success through the alignment, not the grind. This has been another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Keep sharing this show. Keep spreading the message that you can do things and stay high vibe. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level